me, Kajai. You want my Kajai? Shumari. Ta-da! At that time, Puman, the living entity, Mukta, liberated, Samasta Bandhanaha, from all material obstacles on the path of devotional service. Tadbhava, of the situation of the Supreme Lord's activities. Bhava, by thinking. Anukrita, made similar. Ashaya akritihi, whose mind and body. Nirdogda, completely burned up. Bija, the seed or original cause of material existence. Anushaya, desire. Mahiyasha, very powerful. Bhakti, of devotional service. Prayogena, by the application. Sameti, achieves. Adhoksajam, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is beyond the reach of the material mind and knowledge. So translation, the devotee is then freed from all material contamination because he constantly thinks of the Lord's pastimes and because his mind and body have been converted to spiritual qualities. Because of his intense devotional service, his ignorance, material consciousness, and all kinds of material desires are completely burnt to ashes. This is the stage at which one can achieve the shelter of the Lord's lotus feet. You can repeat, the devotee is then freed from all material contamination because he constantly thinks of the Lord's pastimes and because his mind and body have been converted to spiritual qualities because of his intense devotional service. His ignorance, material consciousness, and all kinds of material desires are completely burned to ashes. This is the stage at which one can achieve the shelter of the Lord's lotus feet. It's a pretty exalted stage. So, hopefully we can get some shelter. So, purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai. When a devotee is completely purified, he becomes Anya Vilashita Shunya. In other words, all of his material desires become zero, being burnt to ashes, and he exists either as the Lord's servant, friend, father, mother, or conjugal lover. Because one thinks constantly in this way, one's present material body and mind are fully spiritualized, and the needs of one's material body completely vanish from one's existence. An iron rod put into a fire becomes warmer and warmer, and when it is red hot, it is no longer an iron rod but fire. Similarly, when a devotee constantly engages in devotional service and thinks of the Lord in his original Krishna consciousness, he no longer has any material activities, for his body is spiritualized. Advancement in Krishna consciousness is very powerful, and therefore even during this life, such a devotee has achieved the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. This transcendental ecstatic existence of a devotee was completely exhibited by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In this regard, Srila Madhvacharya writes as follows. The Bhava Bhava Yat Atad Yata Sarupam Bhaktihi Kechid Bhakta Vinrit Janti Gayanti Cha Ayatep Sitam Kechit Tunim Tushnim Japan Jeva Kechit Shobaiha Karinaha. The ecstatic condition of devotional service was completely exhibited by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who sometimes danced, sometimes cried, sometimes sang, sometimes remained silent, and sometimes chanted the holy name of the Lord. That is perfect spiritual existence. So, Tadapuman Muktisamastabandhanas Tadvava Bhavanu Kritashaya Kritihi Nirdagda Bijanu Shayomahiyasha Bhakti Prayogena Samechit Hoksacham. So, Omagana Timurandasha Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Meditam Yena Tasmai Shigurvena Maha. So, a very exalted platform of Krishna consciousness is being described here. And of course, the reference is given to Lord Chaitanya and his ecstatic manifestations, which are elaborated on. You know, I was going to make some reference here, but in the fifth volume of the Anchalila of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And he exhibited his ecstatic symptoms up to the point of what's called Divyonmada. Divyonmada means transcendental craziness. In the material world, people are also crazy. Nunam pramata kurute vikarma yarindriya priti aparnoti. As Lord Vrishabhadev states, nunam pramata kurute vikarma pramada. The word pramada emphasizes mada. Mada means like someone who is in illusion or bewildered. Sometimes Prabhupada would say it means mad, but not precisely, but it means mad in the material world, mad for sense gratification. Nunam pramata kurute vikarma. So one who is mad for sense gratification commits what we call vikarmic activities. Vikarmic activities are activities that violate the Vedic norms. Activities which give a negative result. And then Yanindriya priti aparinoti, because he considers the satisfaction of the senses to be the goal of life. And so that's, of course, a demoniac mentality. So then, on the other hand, you have Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is also acting from a material standpoint very crazy. I mean, like I was making reference to the Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would bang his head against the walls of the Gambira. Could you imagine that? I mean, like, if I... We actually had one devotee many years ago who banged her head against the walls of the ashram downstairs and made a hole in the wall. Probably Krishnapriya probably remembers who that was. Anyway, and so at that point, you just send someone to a psychologist or a psychiatrist. Sorry, they need some very serious help at that particular point. So Lord Chaitanya would do that, and he would just run out of his room in the middle of the night and end up in the ocean or end up at the Tailinga Gate, the Singhadwara Gate, with the cows of Tailinga, and his body was extended like that, so many more cubits. And so the devotees were so worried about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and those exhibiting those ecstatic symptoms that they had to have someone with him as his pillow. Can you imagine? I mean, just like if you've ever gone into a mental institution, and I'm sure some of you have gone into mental institutions, they have these locked wards and everything like that, and they have cameras on you, and you know, basically, even if you go in to visit someone, you have to push two buttons and you explain who you are, etc., like that. So, in the same way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had to have someone with him 24/7. There was this one devotee, his name was Shankara Pandit, and he was known as the pillow of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Of course, that would be an ecstatic service. To be actually Lord Chaitanya's pillow where his feet were resting or his head was resting. And he would stay up all night long, try to stay up all night long. Sometimes he'd fall asleep, and then Lord Chaitanya was so kind that he would cover this devotee with his own cloth because he was afraid of the devotee getting cold, because remember, this was a stone floor where the Gambira was. So That's also pramada. That's nunam. That's not the same as the material nunam pramata kurute vikarma, but that's divyonmada or transcendental madness. So we are not exactly on that platform, or not even close to it, to that platform. So the question arises: how do we function in devotional service in a way not to destroy the material body, but to be detached from the material body and mind? Because in order to perform devotional service with enthusiasm, one has to really be at least intellectually or in the intelligence platform above the gross bodily platform. And certainly one should not be committing sinful activities. Krishna says in the Gita, yesham tvandagatam papam inanam punyakarmanam koi te dvandva moha nirmukta mashanti mam dridavrata. Because we're meant to engage dridavrata, we're meant to engage in devotional service with a firm vow. Dridavrata, vrata means a vow, just like devotees pronounce it sometimes, avrat. That's not how you pronounce it. So dridavrata means a firm vow. And sometimes I make reference to the vows that Grandfather Bhishma made. Of course, Grandfather Bhishma's vow was over the top. In other words, at a certain point, even if you made a vow, if the vow results in irreligious activities, then it's time to put aside that vow. Just like we were talking about before, many weeks before, or whatever, we were talking about morality. Morality is determined basically by the results of an activity, not the activity itself. But generally, we should be sticking to our vows. So, yesham tvandagatam pampam. So, in order to come to the point of being dridavrata in Krishna consciousness, because actually determination in the mode of goodness is held steadfast by the yoga practice, in other words, the yoga practice means, yoga means to connect oneself. It means the goal, you know, being focused on the goal. One has to stop doing sinful activities, at least grossly, or subtly too. One shouldn't contemplate sinful activities grossly or subtly. So how do you do this? I mean, now that we're not at the stage where Lord Chaitanya was at, or the stage of even any, you know, great Vaishnava is at, how do we do that? Now, I was thinking that there's different recommendations for people at different stages of approaching Krishna. I mean, for example, Krishna gives these different recommendations actually in the 12th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna talks about, you know, you should always think of me, and if you can't do that, follow the rules and regulations of Bhakti Yoga. If you can't do that, be a little detached, give the results of your activities to me, etc., etc., etc. So these are very general instructions, but I was thinking about that as far as the public in general. Like Prabhupada, generally when he was talking to Christians, he would talk about sub-religious principles rather than higher truths of Krishna consciousness. You would think that when Prabhupada would meet with priests or bishops or archbishops, that he would start talking about like philosophy with them, but he just kept talking to the point of thou shalt not kill, you know, sub-religious principles. And so there was one instance where Prabhupada actually did engage in higher philosophical talks with people of a different religion, and I was hearing about this last night, where Prabhupada went to this monastery near Melbourne, Australia. And he was meeting with these vegetarian monks who would generally, except for spiritual topics, they took a vow of silence. It's not that they were monavratas, but they took a vow of silence. So the devotees commented, the devotee who was narrating this episode, because it was on the tape, the Remembering Prabhupada series, the devotees commented they had never seen Prabhupada so relaxed with members of another religion before. You know, generally, Prabhupada wasn't relaxed. You know, it was just like Cardinal Danilou, you know, boom, boom, boom. And of course, later on, Cardinal Danilou is found with a woman of the streets. He was what? He was found outside of a prostitute's. She wasn't actually a woman of the street, but we use that as he was found outside of a prostitute's apartment because he had died, I guess, you know, doing something that wasn't proper, and she didn't want to have the cardinal inside her apartment, so she dragged him outside to the door. So, but anyway, generally, and probably with Cardinal Danilou was very, very strict, strong, if you listen to the conversation. It was in France, of course, and there's a video of the conversation, you know, probably, you know, Jesus Christ said this. No, it's not kill, it's murder. You know, in my mind, I don't, you know, murder an animal, murder a human being, you know, Hare Krishna, whatever. So, and of course, in the Old Testament, there's so many quotes. The he who kills an animal is the same. He who kills an ox is the same as he who kills a man. You know, so many quotes like that. And the diet given to Adam and Eve, and, you know, that every seed-giving tree or whatever shall be your meat or nourishment, as the actual translation is. So, generally, Prabhupada was like that. But when he went to see these people who were following the regulated principles, he was so relaxed, the devotees said that, this is Madhavisa who is narrating this. It's actually a wonderful series, this Prabhupada Remembrance series. I should give out a copy to everybody, anybody who wants. That'll be one of my Christmas presents. Anybody who wants, they just bring their computer over and I'll just load it onto their computer. Because I watch that while I'm taking prasadam. So when Prabhupada was there, not only was he just like talking about like higher topics, but he actually, it's described, he was sitting on the couch and had his arm around one of the monks. Huh? I mean, that's pretty interesting. You know, just like really relaxed. You know, how someone sits back and relaxes, puts the arm, you know. Like, so Prabhupada wasn't sectarian. And anyway, another point is that Prabhupada wasn't sectarian in his approach to religion. He was happy if someone was following their own religion in terms of the injunctions given by that religion, and also following sub-religious principles too, because we got to talk about sub-religion too. So getting back to Christianity, for example, there's one interesting sub-religious principle before you even get to the Ten Commandments. It's the Golden Rule. And I was thinking about that too, how many of us don't even follow the Golden Rule. You know, do unto others as you would have others do unto you. Which is a very interesting rule. And I was thinking, you can actually expand that and say unto others or talk unto others as you would have others talk unto you. Because many times with people, we use, you know, harsh words with each other. And, you know, we don't even consider, hey, what if I just change the names of that email to my own, or someone changed the names of the email to my own name. You know, someone writes us a letter, you rascal, you've been so nasty to me. I'm finished. And then, all right, so we should just like turn the email around and change the name. Send it back to the person. Okay. So here's what you sound like. Or at least in the modern day, we can take a video of the person and say, force the person to sit down and watch themselves. Anyway, it's an exercise, a role playing, you know, perspective taking, which is really interesting. Actually, in conflict resolution, they use this all the time, in perspective taking or role playing. So we should be following that as devotees. I mean, don't say or do anything to someone you wouldn't want done to yourself. You know, Hare Krishna. And then we think we're so elevated in Krishna consciousness, but we don't even follow that basic thing. The point I'm trying to make is that sometimes we think we're so elevated, you know, oh, I'm in ecstasy, I'm advanced, you know, I'm a guru or whatever. And then I can say anything to anyone because, you know, I'm better than everyone else. Look at me, all the service I've done or whatever. You know, I'm an older disciple. You know, I got seniority over all of you. So I can abuse all of you. But anyway, it's just, think about that, how we should be conscious of these sub-religious practices too, because basically we're not that. I mean, talking about myself, we're not that elevated, or I'm not that elevated. You know, we should be thinking, how what I say will affect others. Would I want that done? You know, do unto others as you would have others do unto you. And then, of course, higher than that is, I guess, the Ten Commandments. Or, you know, along with that or parallel to that are the Ten Commandments. Ten Commandments, of course, are things like honor your father and mother. These are also sub-religious principles. Honor your father and mother. You know, don't covet another's property. Of course, we have find injunctions like that in the Vedic literatures, too. Isha vasha vidam sarvam yakanja jagajam jagat. Tenajiktena bunjada magritha kashasvitanam. Everyone has a quota, for example. Everything's owned and controlled by the Lord, and he's giving everyone a quota. So you find similar things expressed in a more philosophical way in the Vedic literatures. Although in the higher Vedic literatures, you don't really deal so much with these sub-religious principles. You don't tell Arjuna. You find Krishna telling Arjuna, honor your father and mother. You know, of course, he does say, in a certain extent, you know, austerities of the body to offer respects to your superiors like father and mother, but doesn't get into it in great depth. He's talking about something higher, and then, of course, you go to the Bhagavatam, you go even higher, and the Chaitanya Charitamrita, even the higher aspects of Krishna consciousness. I'm actually putting together something on a book called the Bhagavat Mahatmya, which is actually a very wonderful book glorifying the Bhagavatam in terms of different stories. Like you have the Gita Mahatmya and then there's the Bhagavat Mahatmya. Anyway, so then you have the Ten Commandments, and of course we have our four regulative principles, which are very similar to the Ten Commandments. You know, no meat, fish, or eggs, no intoxication, no gambling, no illicit sex, like that. So then, for people on that level, they should be following that. But actually try to remember that all these levels, even if we're on a higher level, even if we think we're on a higher level, we should be conscious of the lower levels too. Because basically we're not on the liberated platform. And, I mean, I'm not, sorry. I don't want to accuse anyone here, you know, because I'll be committing an offense against a great Vaishnava or Vaishnavi. So we should always be alert. As to, you know, our consciousness, whether we're actually mistreating someone, whether we're actually lusting after something, whether we're actually coveting something, whether we're mistreating even our mother, you know, poor mother, my poor mother. So it requires a lot of consciousness. And anyway, and then higher than that is, you know, you're offering your the results of your activities to Krishna and engage in Varnashram Dharma. You know, these are all different stages. And Prabhupada actually, at the very end or close to the end of his pastimes, he talked about how Varnashram was important. In the beginning, he really didn't consider Varnashram so much. But he understood that the devotees really weren't on a high enough platform just to be engaged in a devotional service 24 hours a day, so they needed a fallback platform. So, and then after Varnashram, of course, then there's the sadhana bhakti, where one takes a vow to follow certain practices, chanting 16 rounds a day, following regular, of course, you have the regulated principles again there. And then after that, you get to raganuga, which is the higher aspect of sadhana. Of course, the first aspect is Vaidhi, then is Raganuga. Then after that, you come to the Bhava platform where you're getting these spiritual mulch. But still, even at those stages, there's some anarthas there. Or there's one's not absolutely free from anarthas or these tendencies. So the point I'm making is one has to be very, very alert constantly, even as far as like, do unto others as you would have others do unto you. Even if you're on the stage of Baba, because even on the stage of Baba, we saw that Bharat Maharaj, he deviated from Krishna consciousness. I mean, here he is, very exalted. And, you know, he knew the philosophy, you know, yam yam bhavi smaran bhavam yajate ante kalevaram He understood that whatever you think of at the time of death, that's what you, what's gonna, where you're going to go or what you're going to be. He understood that 100%. But still, he became complacent. And therefore, he wasn't conscious of that, you know, something that would be considered lesser for someone on the platform of Baba. You know, don't Jayato Vishayak Pum Sam Sango Station, but don't meditate on something as a sense object. For him, a sense object was the deer. It was more of a mode of goodness type of sense object. You know, like, oh, the deer is so pretty, so beautiful, like that. I mean, generally, we are attracted to animals that have nice fur on them and that are, you know, he didn't adopt a poor porcupine. Can you imagine, you know, Bart Maharaj sees a little baby porcupine and he pets it? No, it's not going to happen. Or a skunk. I mean, for example, I have a skunk that lives in my house. I'm not going under the house and feeding him. But when I had the other animals, I used to live in the woods, and there were these marsupials. Marsupials means that, like, it's not a kangaroo. What's the name of that animal? Possum, yeah. Yeah, the possum. Yeah, I even gave them spiritual names. Yeah, there was Sita and Ram. Yeah, they come onto my porch and I'd hand them food and they would thank me, offer their obeisances and everything. But anyway, so I'd give them Mahaprasadam. So, but he wasn't, he neglected that awareness that it was on the bodily platform, you know, that he was interested in an animal because of basically what it did for him in the mode of goodness. It made him feel good that he was helping the animal. However, it also, it was something that was warm and fuzzy. You know, there was something materially, even grossly. So because he wasn't aware, he fell down from the platform of Baba. Or he didn't lose the platform of Baba, but fell down from the human form of life and actually had to take the body of a deer in the next life. So the point is that until we reach the stage of Krishna Prema, which is mentioned here, is then freed from all material contamination because he constantly thinks of the Lord's pastimes and because his mind and body. It doesn't refer to us. I mean, it doesn't refer to me, sorry. Until we come to that, we have to be extremely alert to the sub-religious principles, especially because if we don't follow, even the principle of do unto others as you would have others do unto you, or say unto others as you would have others say unto you, then we will be committing offenses against Vaishnavas. And then our devotional practice will be lessened more and more. So we should always be alert. I mean, that's the message for today. So any questions? Yeah.
So when you hear this talk that you're giving, how, you know, in order to actually become successful in Krishna consciousness, we practice our whole life, we may come to the end of our life and we're not even close to the level of... So what is success then for us?
Success is... We're making a little advancement. And actually, Prabhupada also said that if we serve him throughout this life, that he'll take care of us, you know, or if you can't remember Krishna at the time of death, Krishna will remember. Just try our best. Try our best. But we definitely, the point I'm making is we have to be alert all the time because of our tendencies, material tendencies, if we're not absolutely pure devotees. Even if you're on the platform, even if you experience, I mean, we do experience ecstasies, even in the beginning stage, that's called burnt up or dried up ecstasies, of course. Even a non-devotee can experience them. Or we experience ecstasies in Krishna consciousness as we advance, but we shouldn't take that we are advanced, therefore we can let our guard down as far as these other practices. Especially, I was thinking yesterday so much about this golden rule. Jesus Christ emphasized that. Do unto others you would have others do unto you. I mean, that.
Every religion has that rule.
Yeah. So we need to post that on our wall. Do unto others and say unto others as you would have others say unto you. Okay, on that happy note.